Now, Sinn Féin is calling for a border poll with immediate effect. It comes after the Prime Minister Theresa May expressed doubt over whether the result of a poll would come out in her favour and protect the union. She seems to have her worries and her concerns at this present moment in time. Let me speak to Martin O'Mullier from Sinn Féin. Martin, good morning.
Good morning from the Balmoral Show. Frank, I hope you're well.
Yes, I am well. Looking forward to going up there later on, Martine. I'm sure the farmers will be talking Brexit, and Brexit is certainly linked to this conversation. But you're, to use a blacksmith's term, striking while the iron's hot when you see a weakness in Theresa May.
Well, I mean, you can hear the cattle, I think, mooing in the background here. And there are, this isn't a cat show, but the cat is well and truly out of the bag, because we know from this cabinet, which of course leaks like a sieve because of the divisions, we know that at the cabinet table, no less a personage than Theresa May has said she's not confident she would win a border poll. The importance of that and that formulation of words isn't her lack of confidence or where she believes how she believes the vote would fall. But the importance is that that actually fulfills the conditions within the Good Friday Agreement for calling a border poll by the British Secretary of State. That is, that it's likely there would be, there's been a change in the political firmament. You and I know that anyway. You know that, I think we both agree that probably over the 24 months now, almost since Brexit, the pace of change, the mindsets that are being challenged, the willingness of people to look farther than just the northern state to contemplate a united Ireland, the willingness of people who are not from my political parish to do that, I think that's clear. It's evidenced, Frank, by the fact that in our office beside where you are, or where you used to be in the Armour Road, and we are signing passports for people who are not from the nationalist tradition but who do not like Brexit, who are fearful of Brexit, and who are willing to contemplate the advantages, of course, of a united Ireland. So roll on the referendum.
Yes, but just on that, people do have their concerns about Brexit and they're not sure where it is going. But my goodness, they also have their concerns about a united Ireland. The HSE, the health service in the Republic of Ireland, being described by people, by leading lights in the Republic, as not fit for purpose. The cervical smear scandal where women are dying because of the health service in the Republic of Ireland. People are hardly going to vote for that.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and fortunately it's not Sinn Féin's intention to link, as it were, or merge two crippled, if I may use that word, health services on both sides of the island and create the worst of both worlds. So we're in favour of a health service which delivers for ordinary people, and it's free at the point of contact and which delivers. I heard waiting lists this morning for cataract operations both sides of the border, much too long, and so on and so on. But I think you're right in this, Frank. If we can't win the argument around education and health, we won't win the argument for United Ireland. Unfortunately, as the debate now heats up, the two most recent reports on the economic benefits of United Ireland are clear in pointing up the advantages. Our friend, Professor Kurt Hubner from Canada, says that the economic impact over 7 years would be $35 billion plus injection to the economy in the north. Says that, you know, if you look at the increase in economic growth, that United Ireland would benefit that. You have to remember, Frank, that 100 years of partition almost has moved Belfast from its position once as a preeminent city on the island to now a city which is struggling with economic growth, which is really, as you know, the economy is relatively moribund, growth of 1%, and since the border, the fastest growth in the European Union. So we need to start, and I think it will be like Scotland. We will start seeing considered articulation of the case for and the case against, and I welcome that, and we will put our best foot forward. But I also reference the second report recently on the economics of United Ireland by Paul Goslin, the economist and accountant from Derry, where he also says, look, the only way to effect change and a step change in the economy within the North is United Ireland. And you know, I think if we believe we want to really change this underperforming economy, this low value economy, this low wage economy, the only way is a 32 county economic unit.
Okay, the line isn't great, but I do need to put one final question to you, Martin, in relation to the passports. Someone getting themselves an Irish passport doesn't mean they're going to vote with Sinn Féin on a border poll. It simply means they want to get through airports quicker.
No, well, absolutely, and accept it. But I think it means a little bit more than that. It also means that Brexit has made people contemplate the impact of a vote for United Ireland in the future, because when we have a unity referendum, and I think we will, and I think we'll get it within the 5 years deadline which Sinn Féin has set, when we get that unity referendum, interestingly, people won't just be voting on, would I like to be in a constitutional arrangement with Cork and with Dublin and a 32-county economic unit and so on. They'll actually be saying, would I rather be part of a European Union of 27 states, 27 nations, or would I rather be part of a disunited kingdom, I suppose we could call it now, with less influence, with a faltering economy, and with isolationist, which is looking back, which is looking inward, or be part of Europe, which is looking out and looking forward. And, you know, we know in this city, in the city of Belfast, we know that walls and barriers are to do with the past, and we really do want to be linking in and connecting with people, not bringing down the shutters.
Okay, Martin O'Mullier from Sinn Féin, thank you very much indeed. We speak to a representative from the DUP about this very shortly on the programme. O77 66 105 105 90 333 105. Gordon Lyons is with the DUP. Gordon Lyons, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You must be shuddering now that the Prime Minister has suggested she doesn't want a border poll because she might lose it. Surely that's the very reason why a border poll would be called. Significant change being expected.
No, absolutely not. Like, this is all based on speculation, but the report stated that Jacob Rees-Mogg, in a meeting of Conservative MPs, said that he had no doubt that he was 100% certain that if there was a border poll, that Northern Ireland would vote to remain in the UK. The Prime Minister, it's reported, said, "I would not be as confident as you are." I think that she's still expressing confidence. I think she still believes, she has since said that, that Northern Ireland would vote to remain in the United Kingdom. However, the reason for us to call a border poll, it states in the legislation that if at any time it appears likely to the Secretary of State that a majority of those voting would express a wish that Northern Ireland should cease to be part of the UK and form part of a United Ireland, that's when a border poll should take place, if it is likely that a change would take place. The Prime Minister is not saying that it is likely. The Secretary of State is not saying that it is likely either. So there is no need for a border poll at this time. And if that is their view, it's well backed up by the evidence out there as well. Some have made claims that the situation regarding Brexit will have made things more difficult for the Union's position, but there's been a couple of polls taking place since the EU vote in June of 2016, and there have been huge majorities in those opinion polls in favour of staying in the UK. A BBC poll in September 2016 said 63% want to remain in the UK. Only 22% wanted a United Ireland, 22%. A Lucid Talk poll in October of last year said 55 want to remain in the UK and 33% want to leave. 33%, 22%. It doesn't look like it's anywhere near the point where anybody could say with any confidence it is likely that a majority would vote for something other than the status quo.
But the majority of people want to remain in the European Union, and to do that, you looks like as if you're going to need to be in the Republic of Ireland, or maybe in some sort of all-Ireland framework. The majority of people here don't want Brexit. So by you supporting Brexit, you've actually cut a stick to beat yourself, because now people who never would have considered a border poll are looking more favourably upon the calling of one.
Well, even if you look at the Lucid Talk poll that I just mentioned, they had another question that they asked, which was, even if we have the hardest of hard Brexits, the poll showed that 54% still wanted to remain in the UK compared to 46% that would want a United Ireland. So there's an awful lot of scaremongering that has been going on around Brexit and what that would mean for the border and for border communities. But even at that, we still have a very clear majority, according to opinion polls, that want to remain in the UK. Not only do we have opinion polls, but if you look at the election results, you have unionist parties and nationalist parties competing in Northern Ireland. And it's still the case. Look at the last general election. Under 42% of people voted for nationalist candidates. So we have nowhere near any sign or any evidence that a Secretary of State could legitimately go to the people of Northern Ireland and say, what do you want your constitutional future to be about? Quite simply, the conditions for it are not met.
Theresa May is losing confidence, however, and if she loses confidence, then there is that stronger argument that I put to you at the beginning, that the circumstances begin to present themselves for an argument towards a border poll being held. And this would possibly have to be the worst time of all for the DUP to see a border poll. You can understand, I put to Martin O'Mullier earlier when I spoke to him on the programme, he is striking while the iron's hot, and the iron has become quite hot and becomes hotter each day the more we listen to the likes of Jacob Rees-Mogg or Theresa May or Boris Johnson or Sammy Wilson.
Well, look, we're having an awful lot of conversation at the minute about the constitutional question. This is in people's minds. But even with that, the polls are showing that people still want to remain in the UK. People still see the benefits of remaining in the UK. They understand the benefits that come from being in the UK in terms of our economy, in terms of our health service, and indeed all of our public services that are funded by the subvention that we get from the Exchequer to the tune of between £9 and £11 billion over the last few years. I think everybody sees that we are better off in the United Kingdom, and I believe that when Brexit, when the arrangement has come to, a lot of the scaremongering will have come to nothing, and people will be even more confident to vote in a referendum and to vote to stay. But the border poll can only happen whenever the conditions are met. The conditions are quite clearly set out in the legislation that there needs to be a view from the Secretary of State that a majority of people want to change the constitutional position in this country. And that's clearly not the position at this moment in time. And we certainly shouldn't be going to the polls whenever we're still in flux at the minute in regards to Brexit, and nobody knows for sure how that will all work out and what that will look like. So I think it would be absolutely the wrong thing to do at this time. And frankly, to be honest with you, I think people in this country are actually fed up with elections. I think they're fed up with referenda. And what they would actually like to see happen is to see Stormont get back up and running and delivering on the issues that really matter to people here in Northern Ireland. That's what people are telling me every single day as I'm out and about in my East Antrim constituency. And that's where our focus should be at this period of time, at getting the institutions up and running again, not on a divisive border poll that I ultimately believe we will win comfortably.
Okay, we'll not argue all the pros and cons about getting Stormont up and running, because we'll go round the houses yet again as to who's to blame. But with regards to the strength of the United Kingdom, as recently as yesterday, there was another shadow being cast over Scotland. They were beginning to look like as if they weren't overly happy with where Westminster was going with Brexit. Now, you could argue that Scotland had its opportunity and it voted to remain within the United Kingdom, but the tide seems to be moving back towards the Scottish Nationalists on that.
No, actually, Frank, I think it's going the other way. Of course, there was a vote there in Holyrood yesterday in terms of the Brexit proposals. But if you look at the opinion polls again in Scotland, people don't want another referendum. First of all, they realised how divisive it was. But secondly, actually, if you look at if there was to be another referendum, people are saying that they would stay in the UK, and it looks as if that they would stay by greater numbers than they actually did before. So I think actually nationalism, we're past peak nationalism actually now in Scotland, and I think people across Scotland are starting to realise the benefits of staying in the UK. And again, you only have to look at the election results from last year. The SNP, the Nationalist Party, went from, I think, 56 seats out of 59 in Scotland, 56 out of 59 seats in 2015. And as of the general election last year, they're down to, I think, around 35. So there has been a reduction in the number of people that have been voting for the SNP. And in the opinion polls, it's very clear that more and more people are saying we want to stay within the UK.
Okay, Gordon Lyons, thank you very much indeed. Martin O'Mullier as well.